Radio, our podcast platform that can be downloaded anywhere podcasts are, especially Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. You're probably watching this live, though, checking us out from Facebook Live or YouTube or Periscope. So check us out on one of those platforms. But what you can do to help us out is drop us off a question in the comments section and let us know what kind of question you have on Pittsburgh sports. So check us out there. Leave a question for us. We will be answering them on the show for the next half hour on this show right here live. Today, I'm Chris Carter here with Taylor Haas and Gerard Gilberto. We got all three beats for a second day in a row. We're on fire right here. Y'all, how's everyone doing today?
Good.
Very nice. Today.
Penguins play later.
Right.
Is that a Hartford Yard Goats hat?
It is. Yes, this is a Hartford Yard Goats hat. Honoring the return of minor league baseball, which was a big part of my life for the last 5 years. So,
yeah. I used to intern for the Aberdeen Ironbirds when they're in that league.
Okay. Yeah. How big is the Ripken Shrine down there? Is it modest or is it sort of overwhelming?
Oh yeah, it's huge. I remember like the first day of my internship, like at the orientation, they told us like we're not allowed anywhere near his suite. Like you're not allowed to talk to him. Like, so yeah, he's still a big deal.
We got a few of our people coming on. Chris Lynn from YouTube says, what's up, DKPS team? What's up, Chris Lynn? Thank you for joining us on the stream. Like I said, we have several different ways to watch, so do check us out here. Every weekday at 3 p.m. we're doing this. Taylor, it was a wild scene in hockey last night, and Daniel Matos, our friend from Brazil, came up and asked, he said, man, sometimes I just hate the NHL so much. Taylor, what was your response when, just from the drop of the first puck, it was on?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote something on the site. Like, all of that could have been avoided if they had just suspended Wilson even a game. I mean, it was a mess. Things did settle down after the first, I think, like 5 minutes. But then what, there was still like, my tensions were still high. You saw Buchnevich cross-check Anthony Mantha in the face. I mean, so he'll probably, you've got to figure face discipline off that too. But I mean, like, someone could have gotten hurt. With everything that transpired, they're lucky that no one got serious. Well, I mean, Wilson got hurt, but they're lucky no one got seriously hurt. But yeah, I mean, if the NHL had just handled it from the beginning, this could have been avoided. I think Brendan Lemieux, he was the one that. Brendan Smith. Oh. Yeah, Brendan Lemieux.
Yeah, Lemieux, they sent that down already. Lemieux would have been good to have.
Brendan Smith, he fought Wilson and he said after the game that, like, because the NHL didn't handle it beforehand. So, I don't know. You never know. And then what? They fined the Rangers $250,000 today for questioning Paris's fit for the job. So I don't know. If the Rangers wanted to save $245,000, they should have just slammed his head into the ice like Wilson did. So
that's the whole joke here, is that, you know, they find the organization 50 times as much for taking a stance against Tom Wilson, abusing their players and people in the NHL supposed to take this seriously. I saw a very interesting take. Jay Will on ESPN this morning said this was all the NHL knew this would happen. They said that this gets them higher ratings, people, because now more people were tuning into this because they knew this was going to happen. And one thing, I was talking to Jenna Harner from Channel 11, last night and this morning, just like about this. And she was like, yeah, I'm actually very interested to see what the ratings are, because I'm pretty sure a lot of people who normally wouldn't care about hockey were paying attention. I mean, heck, I'm a person, I usually don't have time for hockey, but I was like, you know, I saw what people said was going to happen. And sure enough, when that first fight started, I was like, okay, well, that's exactly what was going to happen here. Taylor, I know there's a lot of people say this is horrible for hockey, but you know, is there an element that it's like it gets more eyes in the game and they just need to snuff it out now that we've seen the Rangers aren't going to take this, and probably more teams aren't going to take this if Tom Wilson continues to hurt people?
I mean, I'm sure the ratings for that individual game were great, but I think it's for the overall game, it's better to have your stars healthy and have guys like Panarin in the lineup rather than stuff like that. I mean, there's a reason. I mean, the NHL still doesn't have like a major TV deal. Like the ESPN and the Turner deals were a big step up, but I mean, there's a reason that, I mean, it still doesn't have the eyes on it that probably shouldn't. It's because of stuff like this. So
we got a few funny questions about Tom Wilson and fighting. First of all, what's up, Dan? Thanks for joining. We got a few questions as far as jokes, as far as who would take on. First, we had Matthew Baldwin say, who on DK Pittsburgh Sports would we back to fight Tom Wilson? I'm not so sure there's a person who's going to take on a 6'4", 220-pound professional athlete. I mean, I get into the fight, I'll probably lose unless I cheat, but like that just ain't happening. Then Dan LaVoy asks Taylor, how many rounds would you go with Tom Wilson before you get a knockout? I see this stuff, and it's just the fighting still fascinates me about hockey and how it's still such a big part of the game when it's like in any other sport, it's completely frowned upon and stopped. Like baseball may have its bench clearing brawls, but they'll have the umpires jump in between and everyone's trying to separate the guys. Whereas in these leagues, in the NHL, it's just like, yeah, let them sort it out. And then as soon as they're down, then we pull them apart.
Yeah, I mean, to answer Dan's question, I'm 5'3", so he would murder me. But, I mean,
I'm only 5'11". I wouldn't do too well either.
I don't know. The earlier question, who would we pick? I don't know. I don't think I'd pick anyone on the staff. But, yeah, it's
Ramon Foster. Ramon Foster could take you on. Yeah.
Ramon Foster would handle it fine.
He's our only chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's still this mentality that you need fighting to police the game and to keep guys from getting run, but I mean that doesn't do anything. I mean, what, like, they, how many fights off the first few minutes last game, and then Wilson's laughing about it in the packed penalty box. I can't care. Like, this didn't do any. It took him out of the game for a bit because he got I mean the misconduct, and then he was hurt. But I mean, it doesn't eliminate what he was, him running guys. So.
Well, Dan thinks that you would take him out, Taylor. So you have one supporter there. But I think we can all agree that if we had to pick one person on staff, Ramon Foster for the celebrity death cage match with Tom Wilson would definitely go down. Dan Montos thinks that Carey Price could fight Tom Wilson. We can't go a show without a Carey Price joke. Just keep that going, guys. I do appreciate it. All right, let's get to a baseball question because we got a few, or just more so a comment. Matt Wishon says JT pitched very well last night.
Yeah, and he's been their best starter. Like, there's really no way around that. Anderson has obviously looked good too, but those two have been the only real positives so far from that rotation. And Brubaker is really been the man so far. The way he responded after giving up the home run was excellent. He really stayed in the game, and you know, he didn't unravel like we've seen some of these younger guys do. And no, he's had a great year. He's, you know, every staff has that guy like that every 5 days you really have to watch, and he's turned into that guy. You know, he's not a DeGrom or Gerrit Cole or one of those guys, or Verlander when he's healthy, but right now for the Pittsburgh Pirates, he is the man. So yeah, that's he did pitch very well. Good observation, man.
Chris Lunar, our friend from YouTube, thanks for joining us. Says, hockey question, not saying this would ever happen, but do you think, Taylor, if suspensions led to reducing roster sizes, would that force teams to hold more or players more accountable to change?
Well, it does cap wise. I mean, that's still an issue because they would still have to, like, whoever they replace the guy that's being suspended, they have to be cap compliant. And this time of year, that can be an issue because, I mean, if Wilson would have gotten suspended, the Caps wouldn't have had the cap space to replace him. They're already down a forward in that game because what, Sprong was hurt, and they didn't have the cap space to replace him. So, I mean, that would have been an issue. Roster sizes, you get tricky this time of year because there are no roster limits. But I mean, yeah, I mean, this time of year they would have been hurt at least cap wise in trying to replace him.
Got a Steelers question here. Big Swedge asks, are the Steelers hoping that Dwayne Haskins becomes their quarterback of the future? I mean, hoping is a very strong word there. I don't think the Steelers – I mean, if the Steelers hope that Mason Rudolph can be the quarterback, if they're hoping that somebody in the on the team right now could emerge this year, but they're not banking on it. That, I think that's the big thing is, sure, there's a hope that anybody could become the quarterback of the future so that they don't have to spend a first-round pick or trade up in the draft to get it in the next couple of years. But to answer your question, I don't think there's a consensus feeling that he's going to be. I think there's a potential like, hey, you know what? This guy was a first round pick. This guy does have a big arm. You know, if he can, you know, settle down, not make the dumb decisions that got him, you know, released from Washington, maybe he becomes he has a shot to be that guy. But I don't think there's anybody in the organization that legitimately is sitting here saying we're banking our whole future on Dwayne Haskins. So, but I understand why some people are curious, because it's rare that the Steelers just quickly grab a guy that was still in the middle of his rookie deal from being a first round pick. We have another hockey question here. Josh Karadima asks, do you think Tom Wilson was actually hurt, or was that just a quote unquote business decision?
I mean, I don't know. Because he got that the 10 minutes and then he just never came back. And they said, I think upper body injury. I mean, he wasn't that fight. Maybe he could have gotten hurt in that fight. But it's hard to say. Because, I mean, if he would have come back, I think the game would have continued to be out of hand. But it could have been a legitimate injury because there's a lot happening.
We got a Penguins fan here asking a Pirates question. What's E-Rod's status? Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, nope. This was a Penguins question. I just assumed E-Rod. I was like, as a baseball name normally. But no, what's E-Rod's status? And who will get the spot on the third line with 19 and 77?
Yeah, it's Evan Rodriguez. He hasn't started skating yet, so still a ways off. But I think as far as who gets that spot on the third line with McCann and Carter, I think Freddie Gaudreau. I don't think you can take Freddie Gaudreau out of the lineup at this point. Although Rodriguez did look great when he was playing really well up until his injury, but Gaudreau just. The penalty kill, what he's able to do on the penalty kill too, I would keep him in.
Let's move forward here with another baseball question. We got Rick Asoldo who says, wasn't familiar with JT Brubaker before he debuted last season. Was this kind of a performance expected, or has it come as kind of a surprise, Gerard?
It's not like he was a Mitch Keller level prospect. He was, you know, don't ever be surprised when someone's good. Like, there's a reason they're a professional athlete. Like, this is, you know, he has the stuff, obviously. He just, you know, I think what's advanced about him is his frame of mind. And it's something we talk about a lot in regards to the other pitchers with, you know, Keller and this nibbling and sort of lack of conviction on the mound. He does not have that issue. And that is something that, you know, coupled with the stuff, that he has stuff, meaning fastball velocity, pitches, movement on pitches, command stuff. Couple that with, you know, the conviction that he pitches with, and this is what you get. And I don't know that I would ever expect somebody to have like a sub-3 ERA in the major leagues. It's unfair, even one of these, you know, high level guys. But yeah, I think that Brubaker is. Didn't come from nowhere, you know. Did what, you know, should have been known if you were a fan of the Pirates, and now he's putting it together.
Rick Zoldo has more of a comment than a question. He says he really can't take the DOPS seriously if they only fine Wilson then suspend Gutis Pierre, which he deserved. Head scratcher for sure. Taylor, I know you've talked about this before, you know, with what happened with Gutis Pierre before, but, you know, just more of your thoughts on as we continue to see how the NHL is handling player safety right now.
Yeah, I mean, when we were on here yesterday, we were talking about Gostis Bear and you know, what he might get. I think I was just surprised to see him get two games just based off what Wilson get. But what we talked about yesterday, that if the pressure on Department of Player Safety after not really doing anything about Wilson, you figure Gostis Bear would have gotten maybe a harsh punishment just because of the pressure. But he definitely deserved it, because I mean, that Friedman could have gotten seriously hurt. I mean, he wasn't anticipating, because I mean, that was you know, a second or so after he scored the empty netter. He was so definitely not reasonably expecting to get any contact at that point. The way he went flying into the boards, he could have gotten really hurt. They're lucky he didn't, but I mean, there's really no telling what kind of discipline guys are going to get. Like Buchnevich, I don't know what to guess with him either at this point. There's no telling with player safety.
Dan LeBoy asks, Gerard, this fall, what would be the big pirate stories? Or what would be the big pirate stories be, I guess?
So this fall, so after the season, I think they have about, especially now that they're starting to lose a couple games, and I'm not saying that they're, you know, dead right yet, but I think that there's going to be a handful of trades made before July, the end of July deadline. And then from there, it'll be, you know, what they get back in those deals. I think you've already seen the minor league start and those guys get some attention. Roansy Contreras was incredible for Altoona on opening day. Swaggerty hit that home run in his first at bat and could be with the big league team considering their outfield options sooner than later. Gonzalez and Peguero are tearing the cover off the ball. Oh, that's not fair to say. It's two games. Let me get ahead of myself here, but they're hitting the ball well. I think there's going to be – I mean, there's obviously going to be the number one overall pick, whether it's Leiter, Lawler, Rocker, Mayer, whoever it may be. So I think it's going to be similar to what it was, you know, last year. And what's up with the kids? that – and I think on top of the young guys, there's that Polanco buyout that has to be considered. Mm. And I know that it's – he's the longest tenured Pirate and all that. And, you know, it's could be tough to lose that guy. But, I mean, $3 million – for the right to not pay him 12 seems like a deal worth taking. And so Polanco's buyout could realistically be an important part of what happens in the fall. I don't think that he'll get traded. I think it's tough to move that money and that production. So yeah, I think Polanco's buyout and the new batch of prospects that they pick up sometime between now and July.
Moving along here. Now, Taylor, you kind of addressed this yesterday, so this is more about just clarifying. Corey Hecker says, after the Penguins' final regular season game on Saturday, will there really be nearly 2 weeks off before the next playoffs start? I thought you said yesterday it'll be more like a week or so, I think, right?
We don't know. Okay. We don't have dates on anything yet. So they could do a staggered start. Because the issue is that the North Division is delayed because of everything that happened with the Canucks kind of pushing everything back. So, I mean, they could have a staggered start. And, I mean, it's going to be an issue at some point because eventually the North Division is going to have to play somebody from one of the other divisions. So, I mean, there's really no telling at this point. They haven't set anything official.
Moving right along here. We asked that one already. Chris Lynn brings up back to our question about the quarterback situation based on Dwayne Haskins off-field antics. I hope not. For those who don't remember, Dwayne Haskins, part of the reason he was released was because he was having parties in a strip club without a mask during the season after he was getting benched in games. Just all around just not good decision-making. So I understand why some Steelers fans are hesitant on seeing him out there. Dan LeBoy says, Steelers are banking on Jimmy Garoppolo walking away from San Francisco. Ha ha. We all know that Dan is the man from San Fran. He's a big Niners fan. So we get that. But they're not. If they get Jimmy G, oh, man. It better be for cheap. That's all I'm saying about that. Maxwell Package asks, who do you think of as the shortstop of the future? Do you go with Bay, Tucker, Cruz, or someone else?
Right now, someone else. Leover Peguero. I talked a lot about Peguero. He's short, compact swing. Baseball America tweeted and Instagrammed a video of his swing side by side Ronald Acuna, which is a pretty awesome comparison. Mechanically speaking, it's not the same power and it's definitely not the same dude. But I don't know about Cruz's ability to stick at shortstop. He's 6'7". Like that's just never been done before. Like it's, you know, even if he comes to the majors and and starts 100 games at shortstop for the Pirates, every day they're going to say, when is he going to play right field? You know what I mean? So, obviously, Bay is also like a good candidate there, but right now he's playing with Cruz, and I don't think he's playing as much shortstop. And Tucker is it's tough with Cole Tucker because you like Cole Tucker so much. Such a nice guy, such a, you know, great to talk to, great good defender, great athlete, and he just doesn't hit. And he had his chances, and you know, hopefully that extra, you know, more than a month down in Bradenton after spring camp broke rather, did him some good. And we'll see. But I think right now that I'll give you the middle infield combination of the future, and that's Leover Peguero and Nick Gonzalez. We're both down in Greensboro right now. And Chris does not agree with me.
No, sorry. I full disclosure, I was having some contractors work on something, and I've asked them to please leave me alone for the next half hour, and they apparently need my assistance with something. So they will get that after this show is over, like I told them they would.
No problem, bro.
Yeah, right. They were supposed to be here tomorrow, but you know how contractors work. All right.
Get them while you're there.
Just yeah, right. I was like, well, you're here. Let's just get this done. Because we need to get this out here. Chris Lynn says, early surprise player pick for the Steelers. Chris, if your question is who I think will be the biggest surprise early on in the season, I think that's what you're asking there. I think Steelers fans are going to be pleasantly surprised by Buddy Johnson. He, you know, fourth round linebackers, you know, most people think when they get fourth round picks, like, maybe they're doing something, you know, maybe this guy will contribute. I think this guy is going to make an impact pretty quickly. When you look how fast this guy is, how hard he hits, how he's moving all over the field, and he looks like he really understands the game of football. Just off his tape, he understands how a run play works. He understands when he has to stick his nose into the battle, take on an offensive lineman at the point of attack, and how to engage them and win those battles. On top of sometimes it's like, hey, don't engage right here. Back off. Let's chase the runner. Let's get to where they're actually going and blow up this gap. I think that's a huge factor here. People forget that this is, you know, as much as people talk about the passing NFL, the AFC North is a running division. Joe Mixon for the Bengals, J.K. Dobbins and Lamar Jackson for the Ravens, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt for the Browns. The Steelers have to be able to stop the run if they want to make it out of the division, which is why I think they invested their first few defensive picks of this year's draft on guys who are going to contribute up front. So there's definitely that. Josh Karadima asks, Taylor, do you think McCann on the third is due to pairing with Carter? Sully likes his pairs, Jake and Sid, Malkin and Cap.
Yeah, I agree. Sullivan with his pairs, we know that that's been the case when putting together his line combinations. And Carter and McCann, they have looked really good. But I also think if you don't start getting the contributions that you should be getting from Zucker on that second line too, you might see a switch before the playoffs. But for now, Carter and McCann, they've looked really good. With that though, I'm gonna hop off early. We have an interview with Andy Kyoto for our 66-87 podcast. So if you want to listen to Penguins goalie prospect talk, tune into our podcast tomorrow. But yeah, this has been fun. I'm gonna hop off.
All right, thank you.
You take all the Tom Wilson questions without me.
There we go. I'll answer all of them. Right. I'll beat him in a fight. Thanks, Taylor. That's Taylor
Haas. All right,
Haas. Bye, guys. See ya. There she goes. Taylor Haas off to do her interviews for the 66-87 podcast. Check that out. Another great show that we host on the platform that is DK Sports Radio here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Remember to subscribe. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are hosted. Thomas Huggins says, hey, how are you doing? Thank you, Thomas. How are you doing? Really appreciate you. Got a man. I didn't realize this was a guy. This is an old friend of mine. This is a big Swajay. His actually Lance. Lance used to host podcasts with me over on Behind the Steel Curtain back.com back in the day. So Lance, thanks so much for joining us here, man. We really appreciate you. His question is, what three characteristics do you use to grade the Steelers draft? Well, first, Lance, I tell people I don't grade drafts after they're done. Like, you know, I don't like to grade drafts as soon as they're over. I grade them 3-4 years down the line. So if you want to talk about The 2017 draft, the 2018 draft, I use the results. What have they gotten, you know, from those players? Then I look at like, okay, who could they have gotten that, you know, was reasonably around, projected to be around that area as well? Because I don't like it when people like look at like, oh man, all you idiots that passed on Tom Brady. No one thought Tom Brady was going to be a superstar quarterback, because that's why he was drafted in the sixth round. So like when people look at like, oh, Artie Burns, you could have picked, you know, this guy in the fifth round. I'm like, but no one projected that person to go in the first round. It's, you know, the entire NFL passed over guys like that. So that happens. But I usually look at, you know, how is that person's position group now that they've been there for a few years? Is that person ascending to be a leader? If that person's is doing that, they're an A. If they're a good player, but maybe not a leader, that's like a B. If they're just kind of an average kind of guy, glue guy, maybe they're just hanging around, that's a C. And then everything else, if they're not being consistent, that's D and below. But again, I don't do that until 3-4 years after the draft, because it's impossible to me. If you rated Troy Polamalu after his rookie season, you would have called that guy a bust. But if you looked at his whole career, he's a Hall of Fame, a first ballot Hall of Fame safety. So that's why I always say, take your time with the draft. Now this is an interesting question. I guess, Gerard, this might not be, maybe it is, because you've been here for a couple of weeks now. What's the most overrated Pittsburgh attraction? Now, I do understand this is a trick question. Because, or a loaded question, because if you say the wrong thing, someone's going to get upset. They're going to get their feelings hurt, Gerard. Gerard, have you done any tourism things since you've been in Pittsburgh?
No, not at all.
All right. We're going to fix that. We're going to fix that very soon. Yeah. I'm going to take you on to some different spots around here. Really spots that involve beer. But that'll be the main thing. Okay. Most overrated Pittsburgh. Okay. I got to say, I'm being honest. Permanente sandwiches. I know that's a staple, but they're good, but they're not like when people are like, we got to get into Permanente's. I'm like, man, I don't know if that's like right in the line of the first things that I want people to know what is Pittsburgh, you know? So that's just me. But like the incline, dope, you know, cause you get the cool view. You know, you're going to Mount Washington's great, to see the skyline. I think the zoo is still awesome, now, especially now that I've been to a few zoos around. So I think that's pretty cool. You know, Pittsburgh's pretty great. You go to the Point. That's awesome. There's nothing that's overrated about Pittsburgh.
I'm not going to say it's overrated, because after speaking to locals a little bit, it wasn't highly rated anyway, but downtown's a little quiet. Yeah, and I know it's pandemic happening, and you know, I see all the theaters and stuff that would probably attract a lot more bodies. But yeah, downtown's a little suffering. So instead of saying it's overrated, I'm going to make the pitch right now. When things open back up, I know the governor said something a couple days ago, but when things open back up, go support the businesses downtown, because I've noticed they're particularly quiet.
No, I think, listen, downtown, it's had its ups and downs over the years. I've you know, growing up here, like downtown as a kid was not a destination, you know, unless you were going for the arts, you know, because the art district was there. But I'd say over the past 10 years, it's definitely spruced up a bit. And the pandemic definitely had its hits. And unfortunately, there were some businesses that were really good that didn't make it. But you know, we're hoping to see that improve. But Dad, go check out down places. They could use their support, and there are some really cool things to check out down there. I love going to Taco. You know, that's a great joint. Their tacos are legit. You know, but again, there's different places to hit up around town. Like, you know, I love Shadyside is one place that I roam a lot. East Liberty is bustling lately, so I suggest people go check out. There's a lot of different parts of Pittsburgh that you can go and check out. All right, let's.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Listen, Gerard, we're gonna do that. All right, we're gonna go rapid fire through some of these questions. First, Chris Lynn brought back up Los Fries and his food. You gotta have a California burrito which has fries instead of rice and beans. That sounds interesting and very Pittsburgh. So actually, I will try that someday. Doing that. All right, back to the questions. Rob Jacobson says Tom Wilson is the face the NHL wants to present. Can't argue with that. The way things have gone, it's kind of like, yeah, you should protect your superstar players or your star players, and you know, do more like the NBA with promoting those guys, and maybe your league will get more play than it does. Michael Nesbitt says, have you ever been this excited about the young Bucks and the Miners and the future of the Pirates? Now, Gerard, I know you just got here and everything, but it does seem like there's a lot of hype around it. I remember people being really hyped about this Pirates farm system maybe this time 10 years ago.
Yeah, what was it, 2010, that McCutcheon class obviously had a lot of promise, but yeah, I'm not going to speak to Pittsburgh 10 years ago when I was, you know, 18 living in Staten Island, but you know,
hey, I was only 21, so chill with that, man.
No, yeah, no, we're children, both of us, don't worry about that. Yeah, this is a good group. And this is a group that is worth being excited about. And I like I mentioned before, I'll say some names now. Adam Frazier could get traded. Rich Rodriguez could get traded. Kyle Crick could get traded. Sam Howard. Missing somebody. Tyler Anderson could get traded. And this group could only, you know, might just grow. You obviously have the number one pick in the draft coming. That could be Jack Leiter. Your second and third rounders, you're also going to be top 10, top 15 prospects too. There's going to be good players. So, yeah, I think this is a group, let's say, not more excited than 10 years ago, but it's definitely a group worth your excitement.
All right, we're going to run through these real fast. Chris Lynn asks thoughts on the Rodgers-Packers situation. My thing is this. Look, Aaron Rodgers has been unhappy with the Packers for quite some time and the way that they haven't added weapons to his offense and not really heard him out. That was going to happen, and it's clear that Matt LaFleur didn't change his mind. So not surprised. I think he will end up on another team because this continues to get worse and worse, even though the Packers are going to hold on to him with a vice grip. Marty McMillan asks, who's Jimmy or JG? It's obviously Jimmy Garoppolo. Anytime you see Dan Lavoie drop JG, he is talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. He is a Niners fan. Corey Hecker says, which Vanderbilt pitcher are the Pirates taking first overall, or is there another option?
Yeah, the two other options are both shortstops, high school shortstops, one from Texas, from the Dallas area, named Jordan Lawler, and the other's from the California named Marcelo Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. I think right now it's still lighter, but, you know, Rocker's still a guy there. You know, I think it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be valuable to see how lighter, who didn't get a full college season in yet, and he's still technically a freshman. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles that many innings getting into the summer a little bit and getting into the College World Series or the Super Regional, whatever you want to call it, toward the end of the college season. So, yeah, I think it's still – I don't want to say a four-horse race, but I think it's still up in the air. But right now, if I had to pick right now, I guess I would lean lighter. For no actual good reason.
All right, last question here, two-parter here. We'll try to get through this fast. We have a generic question. Jeremy Scott Morrison, Gerard, thoughts on Albert Pujols being DFA'd, the end of a top 10 and an all-time great? And David Brzezicki asks, was Pujols the best non-Pirate to ever play at PNC Park?
PNC Park opened when?
2000.
Rookie year, correct?
2001, yeah.
That was his rookie year. Then the next 10 years were among the best 10 years any baseball player's ever had. So that's a great question that I'm going to agree with. I think, yeah, he's the best anything to play at PNC. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, that guy, it's kind of a shame that you have to wait 5 years to put someone in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He deserves to go today. You know, or the way that college basketball coaches do it, you could still be active and be in the Hall of Fame. It's surprising because it's the name, Albert Pujols. But you know what? If you're the Angels, you got to think about what's out there. You have spent all this money on these position players. You have the best player in the game going right now. You have the best attraction in the game right now with Shohei Ohtani. Anthony Rendon hurt himself, but he's still a guy that's very good that, you know, team spent a lot of money to bring in. They're not winning. That has to happen.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, like I said, Pujols is 21 years in now to his we're 20 years in now to his major league career.
Wow. It's crazy to think that it's been a lifetime. You know, it's wow.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he wasn't the player he was in St. Louis, obviously, but it's tough. It's tough to justify any move that changes things when you're not winning. You know, like, why did the Mets fire their hitting coaches 25 games into the season? You know what I mean? Like, after having all those rainouts and all that stuff and all these great excuses to not be hitting the ball, winning, there's nothing should ever surprise you when a team is not winning, when they change things up.
I think that's a very good point and a very good way to end this show. Thanks so much to everyone who joined us on the Afternoon Ask Anything show here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Thanks for following us live on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Periscope, where you can follow us every single weekday right at 3 p.m. through 3:30. And thanks for listening, if you are right now, to DK Sports Radio, where this has been produced as a podcast. Remember to rate us 5 stars, leave us a positive comment, and subscribe to DK Sports Radio anywhere podcasts are hosted, but especially Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Be back in the ears on Friday for the final Afternoon Ask Anything of the week. See you then.